Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We are delighted to welcome in our friend, Greg Gabriel, to the discussion. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Hey, Greg.
I'm doing good, David. Mike, how are you?
I am living the dream personally, and David and I were having an interesting conversation about this team's development and about the pressure on the quarterback. And I don't know how you view it, Greg, but do you think the quarterback gets a break because now they've got a great player on defense and there's less scrutiny on him, or is it the other way around? Have they speeded the process of improvement to the point where he's got to get better in a hurry for them to be real good?
Well, I don't know if they speed the process of improvement, but he does have to get better in a hurry for sure. I mean, he's running the offense, and the Bears spent a lot of money to get the parts to put around him. And if you just compare him to a guy like Jared Goff, who the Bears are kind of closely following that blueprint that the Bears had and bringing in an innovative offensive coach and some good skilled people to put around the quarterback. He's got to come through with the big plays. And I thought as good as he played in the first half, he didn't play anywhere near as well in the second half. I thought in that last drive, the inexperience showed. The poise wasn't there. He wasn't there. There was open people he didn't find, and then his accuracy was off, and that can't be denied. So he's got to step up and work hard this week and show improvement when Seattle comes in Monday night.
So if you're sitting there in the front office, Greg, and you've seen your quarterback who's making his 13th NFL start, where is he then in terms of your relative to where you expect him to be and to where you think he should be?
Well, David, I don't think you can put it all on just one player in one game. It was the opening game. We can have that argument to say, well, they should have played more in preseason. Fact is they didn't, and that's been the trend throughout the league, is to keep the starters off the field. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I think that remains to be seen, and you need more data on it, but that seems to be more of a fact of life now in the league. What you want to see is that you want to see him grow, continue to grow game after game. He had some games where he made comebacks last year and made some big throws at the end. He didn't do that this week. Some of the throws were there. Whether he was putting pressure on himself and he was a little tight, I don't know. I'm sure the whole game situation with Green Bay making that miraculous comeback had a little bit to do with it, and being on the road had a lot to do with it. What you want to see is that he improves from last week to this week when they play Seattle on Monday night, not make the mistakes he made on Sunday night, and just continue to grow. And if that happens, then you still have a feel good about the whole situation. You want to see the arrow consistently going up with his development. You don't want to see him level off.
And how does a team avoid that sort of thing, Greg? I mean, how do you avoid him leveling off? If indeed he was very good with the scripted stuff, does that mean you go back to the script more, or is that hard to do in week two?
No, you're only going to script so many plays because you don't know exactly what the defense is going to give you and how they're going to react. The one thing I thought looking at that game is, they had some big plays early on. Yes, some of it was scripted, but they continued to have those plays. They put a lot of yards up with the offense in the first half of the game, and I thought the play calling got a little bit too conservative in the second half. And my concern was, this is the second game in a row. If you go back to the last game of the season with Kansas City last year with Matt Nagy, they had a big lead against Tennessee in a playoff game, and he was calling the plays, and yet, Tennessee came back and won that game. And so is that the conservative play calling trend, is that a trait of Matt Nagy, or does he have to continue to keep the pedal to the metal and do what God gave him the success in the first half.
You know, Greg, I wrote that too. So, Sunday night, you know, I referenced that game. And then, you know, I thought about it Monday morning. What is that fair? Because, I mean, look, is that fair to look at it that way? Because we know Andy Reid's involvement in the play calling in that in the Chiefs game. And I don't know how connected the Bears and the Chiefs actually are. So I agree with you that it's inevitable that we're going to look at those two games and maybe make the connection. But I don't know if it got more conservative. I mean, the run-pass ratio was the same. And you know what? On third and short, in two instances we're talking about, he threw the ball. He didn't run the ball. I think conservative would imply that he just, okay, we're going to run this, we're going to play it safe. So I don't know. I don't know if I totally agree with that.
Well, no, and I understand where you're coming from, David. And what I look at is earlier on, even in the third quarter, where it was almost run, and they weren't using the pass. Now, we can have that argument all day about that, the third and one call, and do they run on third down, and then if they're a foot away, run on fourth down instead of kicking the field goal. You know, you're going to find half the group say they should have kicked the field goal, another group half say they shouldn't have kicked the field goal, and then make Green Bay score, which in fact they did, but they would have had a lot less time. And you know, who knows if a coverage breaks down, because the whole situation turns around. I think that when you look at one game, David, you know, you can't make a definitive decision. You got to look at the whole picture. And that was one game, and we had one other game to compare it with, and it was two games in a row with Matt Nagy calling the plays. So you lean towards that assumption. Is it fair? Probably not. But at the same time, we got to have a bigger body of work to find out exactly what he's going to be doing in these types of situations.
Greg, you know, we talked about the idea. We haven't talked to you since the trade, but the idea of giving up two number ones for the right to then give up $100 million is unusual in the NFL. You don't usually see a team give up the picks and then give up the money, and they gave up both, which raises the expectations. Now, the guy's debut was unbelievable, and you saw a half of football where there were special, unbelievable plays, and it hinted at how good he can be. Were you surprised by that deal followed by the paycheck? Were you did you think they did the right thing? How do you – a lot of people, there's different philosophies to it.
No, I loved it. And, yeah. You know, and I sat on the score with a couple other times. I gotten up that Saturday morning, and for some reason I just started thinking about the Khalil Mack trade, and was he going to, in fact, get traded to a team. I know there was a lot of talk that Green Bay was going to be the team, and so I started looking at their cap situation, because it was after the Aaron Rodgers deal, how much cap space they had left, and then I was using the Aaron Donald deal as a reference, and I thought, you know what, there's no way he's getting traded to Green Bay. They just didn't have the cap space, and that's not, you know, if you look at the history of Green Bay and how they've done deals, it's just not something they do back-to-back. So I kind of threw that out, and within like 15 minutes after I'm going through that, the trade gets announced, or, you know, it comes over that the trade, the Bears are putting together a package to make the trade. It wasn't totally official then. So, but I've always thought, you got a chance to get a player like that. You know, I was with the Giants 17 years. We had Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, I was with Lawrence Taylor Saturday night at the Pro Football Weekly 50th anniversary event. And Lawrence and I talked about it, and I have compared Khalil Mack, and this goes back a couple of years, not just since the Bears got him. I've compared him to Lawrence Taylor. He's that type of player, the mannerisms, how he plays the game, just the athleticism. And if you put on tape of Lawrence Taylor and then you put on tape of Khalil Mack, you can see a lot of similarities in their play. And Lawrence agreed with me on that, except he said, I wish I had his money. But I think you got an opportunity to make that deal. You make it 100% of the time and say, oh, yeah, they gave up two first-round picks. But nobody brings back the fact that they're getting the second. So in reality, in that second year, you were flipping the Bears first for the Raiders second. to me, that changes the whole dynamics of the trade. That second could be a very, very good player, and they will have two twos in the 2020 draft.
I love the idea that he's as disruptive as Lawrence Taylor, and I think that's a tremendous comparison. Yep. When I look at him, I think almost like body type and the way that he plays. James Harrison may be, to me, looks like the type of guy that you can really, you know, he's got the same sort of, he's stocky, he's explosive, and he can get to the quarterback in a hurry.
You know, if you look at the measurables between Lawrence and Khalil, they're almost identical. And, you know, Khalil Mack is 6'3". He was like 255 when he came out. Lawrence is 6'3", and he was 247. Lawrence might be a little bit longer. I don't recall what the time speed was on Taylor when he came out, because that was back in 1981. But, in fact, they didn't even have a combine back in 1981, so there might not have been an official speed on him. But Khalil ran in the low 4.6s at the combine. Then he came back at the pro day at the University of Buffalo, and I was there. He ran in the mid 4.5s. You know, they're both very strong, very explosive. They got that, when you see them coming off the edge, they got that lean to them and that power through the hips, and that's where I really see the similarity between the two.
Greg, when we look at Seattle, this is a team, this is an example of a team that comes into town with once a great defense, with a quarterback not making a lot of money. Now a team based on the quarterback who's making a lot of money, and the defense has had to be broken up as a result of that. Where, you know, is this the future of the Bears, and what can they do, and what do you expect come Monday night?
Well, it's going to be an interesting game because you look, I mean, Seattle still did some things on defense. You look at the yards that Denver put up. I mean, Denver had 324 yards rushing, 146 yards, or 324 yards passing, 146 yards rushing, but Seattle also created or forced three turnovers. They had three interceptions in that game. They're a good football team. Russell Wilson's hard to defend, and but at the same time, the rushing game on Seattle's part is not that strong. You know, they drafted Rashard Penny. He missed most of the preseason with a broken finger. He had seven carries, I think, for 8 or 9 yards in this game. He still caught three or four passes. Their leading rusher was a seventh-round pick a year ago, Chris Carson. He went 7 for 51, but their total rushing yardage for the game was only 64 yards. So, you know, I think this is a game the Bears could win, and they have to win. You don't want to start off, the pressure's going to be on them. You don't want to start off 0-2. They got a tough first part of the schedule, and this is a game that, you know, they got to come out. It's in front of the home folks. You got a new coach. You got a lot of new players, and you've got to have a strong appearance.
Great stuff, Greg. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
Okay, guys. Talk to you soon.
Yep.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.